טוב, good evening everybody. ויאמר השם אל משה, בוא אל פרעה. בוא אל פרעה. On the beginning we have to understand what is בוא אל פרעה. Should be לך אל פרעה. Just go to Pharaoh, not come to Pharaoh. If I send somebody to do
for a mission. But if you're coming
with
someone, then you say, boy,
so in other words,
God is saying, come with me.
No, not come to me. It's come, bo el paro. It's come to me, to Pharaoh.
With me.
In other words, God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, come with me. It's okay. Come with me. Why? The Kodesh Baruch Hu has to tell Moshe, come with me. And by the way, it's not the first time. It's a few times already being said. The same phrase, come to Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And what is the reason? Is Moshe Rabbeinu afraid of Pharaoh? Because we see that not always it's written, Bo el Paro. And the thing is that, first of all, Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid of Pharaoh, but not the Pharaoh as a physical thing, but as a spiritual thing. In other words, it's bad influence. Because Pharaoh is the symbol of the absolute impurity. Like, this is the worst place that you can be in the presence of this guy, which is, let's say, in control of all the tuma of the world. Pharaoh is the, let's say, the side of us that always tries to drag us to do things that are not exactly the right things to do. Pharaoh is, Mitzrayim is, like you say, Metzarim. It's like putting us in a Metzar, in a closed place. And we have to go out. Yetziat Mitzrayim is getting out of Egypt, getting out of the influence of Pharaoh in Egypt. And this is not an easy task. So God is telling us, don't be afraid. I am with you. I am with you wherever you go, whatever you do. Bo el paro, I'm going together with you. So there's no reason to be afraid. But we have to believe it. And we have to feel it. And this is why we sit and learn. And this is why every day we have to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim, and one day, or let's say more accurate, one evening we sit the whole evening and talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim, in order to put this in our head that who is controlling the world? The Kodesh Baruch Hu, nobody else. We look around us, and it's not an easy sight. We see a lot of terrible things happening all around us, and sometimes we lose our faith. And this is why we have to remember always that we're not alone. God is with us. And it doesn't matter what is waiting for us and how difficult it is. Because, you know, sometimes people are quite desperate. They have hard things going on. And sometimes you don't want to wake up even from the morning. You want to stay in bed. You don't want to go out and do anything. So God is telling us, and remember it always, Bo el paro, don't be afraid. Get up. Start a new day. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. And here is the point where we have to understand and really what was happening here. Because after all those plagues, the Torah is telling us, or our sages tell us, that in the darkness plague, one of the reasons was that it's the last plague before Makat Bechorot, which took us out of Egypt. And at that plague, God really killed all those who didn't want to go out of Egypt from the Jews. And when we see it next week, Chamushim Yatsu, one of five. Chamushim, one of five. Echad Mechamesh, which is 20%. In other words, 80% stayed in Egypt.
So are you saying that 80% were killed? Or
yes.
80% of the Jews were
yes,
killed?
At Makat Choshech, yes. That's what the Midrash says.
That's a tremendous amount.
It's terrible to understand and even to think about it. But unfortunately, you have to understand, we'll be talking, this is not a story. This is telling us what is life.
It's
history.
And what's happening? If somebody doesn't go in the right way, dead in the spiritual way, doesn't matter if you really physically move. Actually, if you're not connected to the Torah.
You think of the Holocaust.
But that's people won't accept that. They will not accept that.
What?
I tell people, because that's what I believe, you know, is it, that's terrible that I'm making a statement like that.
It is a difficult...
It's a difficult thing to accept.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing
God
to say, but...
loves us.
But we all know God loves us, and that's the reason, by the way. You have to understand, those 20% who went out of Egypt, if you think for a minute that they were all tzaddikim, you're mistaken.
No. Not at all, no one wanted to leave Egypt, really.
Why?
Because they were, you told us, in a comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was difficult for them to get out of this, and one can understand this. And they weren't unhappy. No one was complaining.
They were complaining. They were complaining.
Okay, but why?
That's exactly the point of comfort zone. Comfort zone doesn't mean you enjoy it.
But they're scared of the.
They don't want to live what they used to. That's a problem. It's a big problem. They're scared of the unknown and. We talked about it last week.
You just remember the Holocaust, Germany. How many Jews knew that what is going to happen and they didn't want to leave?
But the rabbis,
the houses, the fortune, the
some of them. It depends. You see,
some of the rabbis wouldn't let them.
We must understand. You know, it's very easy for us to talk.
Advise them not to.
That's why we're learning here. You have to understand. 80% of the Jewish nation at that time stayed in Egypt, which means that something happened there. Today also the same story, you know, with the Holocaust. What do you think? You think they wanted to be killed?
And they didn't.
But they couldn't believe or didn't want to believe
what was happening.
It was so unthinkable that they couldn't.
Okay, everything is unthinkable. Still happens.
That horrible was going to happen.
And unfortunately, this week, last week also, where everybody was talking about all the leaders of the world talking about, and you know, I heard what they say, but do they really mean it?
Words are cheap.
It's very easy to throw words to the air.
They keep on saying the same thing. It's not the first time that they got together and said that they. And then they come back and do it again and again, and they say these things again.
So this is why we have to understand and realize that first of all, from our point of view, from a believer point of view, it doesn't really matter if we are being killed physically or we are being killed spiritually. On the contrary, it's much more. It's worse to be killed spiritually because then you lose everything. And this is the reason that God tried to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt. So he gives a plague, and another plague, and another plague, and another plague, and nothing happens.
And none of the plagues hit the Jews. They were only.
By the way, there is an opinion that says that a few of the plagues were also on the Jews. And one of the reasons was exactly what we're talking about now. To make them realize, understand that God is the one and the only one, and he's got the power. And if you have a little seichel, leave Egypt. And you see, the point is that we see here is written in our parsha something that we have to understand. When we are going out of Egypt,
only from the I think this
In Pasuk Mem Aleph, in Perek Yud Bet,
Mem Aleph?
Pasuk 41, yes.
Mem Aleph?
Pasuk 41, Perek Yud Bet.
Lamet Mem?
No. Perek Yud Bet.
42.
Yes. Is the Pasuk.
Pasuk Mem Aleph. Go to 41.
Mem Aleph. Mem Aleph.
Vayhi bikes 30 shana.
Yeah.
Shana. So 430 years. And by the way, 430 years goes like this. It's 30 years from Brit Ben HaBetarim, when Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Avram and tells him about what's going to happen. And then 400 years from the day that Yitzchak was born. And in this, there are 210 years that they were in Egypt. Okay? But this doesn't matter now. What matters is that after all this period of time, Vayehi be'etzem ayom hazeh yatzu, what's written? Kol tzivot Hashem eretz Mitzrayim. All the army of God got out of it. What's the definition? Kol. What does it mean? Kol. Yatzu tzivot Hashem. Because we all know that not everybody went out. Only 20%. So what's the kol tzivot Hashem?
The voice.
And by the way, it's not all the people. All the army of God. You know, in the army you have those who belong to the special units. You have the fighters, you have the jobnikim, those who sit in office, and you have those who come because, okay, they're there, but they don't do a lot. They would prefer to be somewhere else, but they're there. And they all are part of the army. So here, God is really telling us an unbelievable thing. God wanted one thing from Am Yisrael. The will to go out of Egypt. That's all. Some of them were still idol worshippers, as we see on Kriyat Yamsuf, when they go into the ocean, and the angel say to God, Alalu of the Avodah Zarah, Ve'alalu of the Avodah Zarah, both of them are idol worshippers. Why do you save them and you kill them? Why do you save the Jews and you kill the Egyptians? Both of them are idol worshippers. Unbelievable. In other words, with those people who went out of Egypt,
still were
among them people that were worshipping idols. But
it's not so difficult to understand. I mean, for so many years.
No, for us, it's a very it's a good thing to understand, because what God wants of us is not be tzaddikim and then I'll save you. No.
Right.
Come what out he wants first. Us, come out.
Oh, says,
I want you all, exactly. I want you to have the will to get out. Doesn't matter who you are and what you are. If you want to go with me,
he loves you.
Of course, but you have to show him something.
Even Erev Rav left Egypt.
Yes.
They also were to go.
And this like makes even
this
paradox even worse. Like to understand and realize that you didn't have to be a tzaddik to go out. You know, after seeing, we're talking about the comfort zone, it's very easy to talk about it, but still, at the end of the day, after all those plagues, really? Okay, in the beginning, I understand. But then, for a whole year, things are happening around them. And they see God. They see the miracles.
This is the point, they don't see.
They see. That's the point is that they see. You see, when people come to you and tell you, if God is going to show me a miracle, I'm going to do tshuva.
They actually nonsense. They saw it.
Why do you think you have all this hatred to religion? Now, for today on the Facebook or something, somebody sent in one of the groups a picture of the Chinuch Atzmai, the school here in Ra'anana, that they covered the fence with a material or something. Like they're closing themselves and who knows what they're doing inside. And you know, people really, I was the first time that really people attacked him and says, you crazy. Yeah, one of them says, I think you missed your treatment this week. This guy is not a machine. But this is hatred. Because they're afraid. Because they know that's the truth. And if they stand in front of the truth and they have to say, okay, this is what do they have to do? They have to change their ways. They don't want to do it. Why do you think they fight about two girls showing a show of Yitziat Mitzrayim in school? This is history. Nothing to do with religion. Adata. That's what they call it.
What?
Adata. Huh. We are like, we are making the kids be religious.
What?
If a teacher talks about the Bible, he can be blamed in Adata. It's unbelievable. You know, some of those things that you hear, this hate, look at the elections. Look what's happening. Look what they're talking about. In other words, they are afraid of the truth because they don't want to change their ways.
That's what they mean.
And it's terrible to understand that they know, some of them know the truth, but they don't want to know it.
They're afraid.
They're afraid that tomorrow the child is going to come home and start asking questions and then want to be kosher and then he wants to keep Shabbos. And it happens, by the way. It happens sometimes.
Yeah, we know. But nothing, it happened in my building.
Nothing terrible about it. But they look at it as a terrible thing. So they're afraid of it. So the same old story. This is why we learn what we're learning here. This is this Pharaoh inside us. And we're talking here about being religious or not religious, but it's also, if you're religious, you have this fight. You know, when I've been in the exhibition now in Germany, so I had an option. You know, you come to the exhibition, you know, you spend money in order to see the exhibition. The exhibition is being closing down at 6 o'clock in the evening. But you know that where I've been in Köln, they have a synagogue and there is going to be a minyan for Mincha and Mariv at 4:30.
And you want to be in the minyan.
Now, you have now this. What are you going to do? Are you going to daven by yourself and go on with the exhibition because that's the reason you're there, that's your business? Or are you going to leave the exhibition in the middle and go to daven?
It's your choice.
Of course. But this is the matter of belief. This is the matter of emunah. If you really believe that God provides, so what's the problem? You do your ishtadlut, you go to the exhibition, and you make sure that there is a minyan, you go and daven in the minyan. And by the way, halachically, you don't have to do it. You have to understand. You don't have to do it. Because the halacha is like if the place with the minyan is 18 minutes or what the distance, or you don't have to, you can daven by yourself. And there are a lot of excuses that you can take. And I must say, it's not nice to say it, but I've got nothing against them. I was not the only Jewish guy in the exhibition. And not the only religious Jewish guy in the exhibition. But in shul, I was the only one from the exhibition. Me and my son. So, it shows you something. What is more important? And it's not even what's more important. It's what is your belief? Because if you really believe that God is one who gives you the parnosa, so what's the problem? Okay, you have this curse, Beza'at apecha tochal lachem. So you came to the exhibition. And I must say that, Baruch Hashem, in this week, I missed only one...
Business.
Minion.
No, one minion, not business. He's talking about business, you see.
See what his mind...
My wife doesn't like my way, by the way. She thinks I'm crazy sometimes, but...
Sometimes.
Baruch Hashem, yes. Sometimes, well, she says it.
This is not only your problem. All the wise things...
So... At the end of the day, I must say that, really, Baruch Hashem, when I look at the exhibition, you see, you can go to the exhibition for the whole week and get nothing. You can go half an hour, and get everything. And sometimes God shows you. And by the way, it happens to me a lot that at the beginning of the exhibition, in the few hours that I start the exhibition, normally I find everything I need.
you're buying.
Yes, I'm buying.
Oh, so I'm buying. So if you're buying, so then it's easier to go to the minyan.
Of course, it's easier. Yeah. So also the others, I'm talking about the same situation.
Right.
And for you, it's very understandable, okay? But I don't know. But for others, it must be not.
Your wife.
But if you were selling.
Also, if you're selling, you have to believe it. If you really want, for example, now I'm thinking about going to Poland for an exhibition. So I write this guy, says, is there any shul or things? What do you think? It's Uman? You know, people don't even like that. They think I'm
crazy.
I'm crazy. I'm a shiganer. But that's the way I think. Because you think, if you really believe in God and you really believe that God is the one who gives you everything, so what's the problem? I don't understand. What's the problem?
Not many people.
They don't believe like me.
Exactly, but that's exactly why we're sitting here and trying to understand this is Pharaoh. This is the fight between Moshe Rabbeinu and Pharaoh inside us. Mm-hmm. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling to Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my soul go out. Let my soul do the right thing. But Pharaoh is telling, oh, you're stupid or something? I've got a business to do. I'm here for a business reason. I cannot just go now for half an hour finding a minion. Looking for a minion, you're crazy? And that's a real thing. It's happening all the time. You know, you come on holiday and you see people with kippot on the head. And there is time of mincha or mariv when you are asking people. They've got those stupid excuses sometimes that you couldn't believe that somebody's answering you. I davened already. Why did you daven? Okay, but I've got a minion. I want to do a minion. No, not now, later. Oh, I'm on holiday. So what you on holiday? What, you holiday from God? But that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. For example, to understand and realize that Pharaoh is really also the symbol of the ego. What was Pharaoh? Pharaoh was thinking only of himself. By the way, he was not even thinking about his people. And we can see it on the plagues. We told you the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it shows you, it goes plague after plague to show you when Pharaoh asks Moshe Rabbeinu to take the plague away, it's only when it affects him directly. When it doesn't affect him directly, he doesn't care. It doesn't matter, whatever. And this is also us. You know, when I've been there in Köln, I was sitting in the Shachrit in a place where normally I sit there, but you know, I'm not there all the time. I come once a year, twice a year, maybe. And there's this place that normally nobody sits there, so I sit there with my son. And this year, some of the old people, he changes place, he must change, because he comes to me and he shows me, like, this is his place.
Oh,
and I was so aggravated. And I went to the other place. I understood him, but still, that's not the way to do it.
No.
You know, I want to tell you something. I came back, and we started a new sidra of learning the Daf HaYomi. And there is a place where I'm sitting for around 14 years, the same place where I sit and learn with the Rav that gives us the shiur of the Daf HaYomi. And I come back, and somebody's sitting on my place.
Okay.
So I felt terrible. Because I didn't say anything. I sat on another place, but I couldn't concentrate because I was used to the place where I was sitting. And then I thought to myself, look what God is showing me. Last week,
you were aggravated.
I was aggravated.
Mm.
I understood it, but I was aggravated, but I didn't understand the feeling. So God told me, okay, you want me to let you understand the feeling? You're sitting here 14 years. Somebody is going to take your place. And now let's see how you feel.
I was once in the Breuer Shul in Washington Heights in New York.
They're very yucky. They're
very yucky. So they have it's a beautiful, huge shul and a women's balcony upstairs. I came to I said, I never went to Breuer. Well, let's go to Breuer's. So I come in and I sit down. There was absolutely no woman in shul because they daven really, really
Believe me, this shul in Kelns are also not a lot of people there.
So I come in, and there are a lot of men downstairs, but there's nobody in the women's section. I sit down. A woman comes in, and honest, I'm telling you, this is a true story. She came over to me.
This is my place.
And she said, excuse me, you're sitting in my place.
And you look around, there's so many places.
It was a joke. I couldn't believe that would happen. And so then I saw that she really meant it. And I moved over and I could not believe it.
This is a very Yekusha thing, though, I have to tell you. When I lived in Forest Hills, the same thing. We went to shul. You know, and they had their names on the seats. Do you know whose name is what? You go in, you come in, you're a new person, you sit. They would come in and they'd say, that's my seat, that's... And it gives you such a bad feeling.
Oh,
it gives
you
such a bad
feeling.
And it's a very Yekusha thing.
So I want to tell you what the halacha says.
I would just say sorry.
Okay? I want to tell you what the halacha says. First of all, there is an inyan that everybody will have a place where he sits. No, usually, how do you say, makom kavua. There is an inyan da halacha. Why? Because when you are used to a certain place, you know, especially old people, you know, when my father was coming to, when my father was coming to me after my mother died, so every week he was in one of me, or in my brothers. So he used to like to sleep in a certain room. I couldn't change this room because he wouldn't feel good. He was used to this room. The same way is with the seat. If you used to sit on a certain place, you feel comfortable, you feel at home, and It's a feeling. And know that Chazal, our sages, knew it. So they said, Ben Adam tzerich likvua makom letfilato. That's halacha. You should have a place that where you sit regularly and daven. But, let's put the things in a proportion. Okay. But if you came late and somebody's sitting on your seat, of course you're not going to move him. The idea is, it's like people saying Kaddish. Yes, like so they want to be a shliach tzibur. They want to be a shliach tzibur. And sometimes they fight for it. And they don't realize that instead of doing good, they're doing bad. Because if you want the neshama of your parents go up, you should behave nicely. In other words, if somebody comes and takes the amud and wants to be a chazan, let him. And with this act, you're doing much better than taking the amud. Oh, I have got yours, I've got yours. They see people fighting.
Terrible.
And they don't realize it, but you have to understand both sides. So in our shul, for example, what they did, in the beginning there were no names. Then they put names, but it was told to everybody, if somebody sits on your place, you don't tell him to move. There are no, those places, recommended places. So you have a place, but if somebody is sitting on your place, okay, what can you do? But we have to understand both sides. You know, a few months ago I talked about this, and somebody came. I talked about it that should let others sit on your seats or come in the castle. And it's not like you say. And he says it's a halacha that says that you have to have a place. So I told him I didn't talk about this. I just took it from the other side of the. But then I made clear to the people. Yes. So from one point of view, from one side, you need to have a place where you sit. But if somebody sits on your place. Like, I didn't tell anything. 14 years I'm sitting on this chair. I didn't tell the guy, get up, I'm sitting here. Didn't say anything. But what I felt inside, it made me understand the feeling when somebody takes your place. And it doesn't matter if it was somebody who sits at this place 1 year, 2 years, 14 years, or 1 month. Some people are very attached to the place. To a reason. If they don't sit on the right place, they cannot daven. It happens. So in order for me to understand it, I had to go with this experience that God said, okay, you didn't understand this old guy, so I will let you understand it from the other side of the picture.
Yeah.
Every coin's got two sides. So I'm going to let you understand. That's why they say, Al tadin adam ad shtagia limkomo. Don't judge nobody till you get to his place. And you know how true this is. People don't really know what it is when they start with somebody and somebody does something. You don't know what's going in his mind. So this is one lesson I learned, and I understood the idea behind the feeling of something that is, you don't understand. We are so, how do you say?
It gets in a rut.
We're so used to things. We're so like...
creatures of habit.
Yes. And
that's it.
Then, with this story, I was at a funeral in Holon, and we came back in the rush hour, which is unbelievable. It's terrible. You know, you come to those junctions and things, and people go, everybody tries to take you over, and you're really getting out of it. And I'm going, and this guy tries to go. So the first thing I thought, I'm not going to let him go. What's this? Well, and then I said, well, no, calm down. Let him go.
Let him get the coffee.
So I let him go, and then something unbelievable happened. He was going, and somebody did the same thing he did to me, did to him. And you know what he did?
He
hit
him.
No, he let him go in.
He let him go in.
In other words, what you're doing is influence also on the others.
Made him think of the right thing. Yeah, so,
and this is very important to understand. If we control ourselves and do the good, right thing, we influence others to do the right thing. You know, if society will try and work this way, maybe we will look different on the road and in other places also. And it doesn't mean someone say, doesn't mean that I'm a tzaddik, that next time I'm not going to get aggravated.
Don't worry,
I might, tomorrow if I go, not letting this guy go in. Who knows? But you know, when you look at things and you realize the influence you've got, and this is the fight we have. This is Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's the meaning of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Get out of your habits. Get out of your wrong habits, of course. Fight the Pharaoh inside you. Don't let him control you. Let the neshama control. Let my people go. Let the neshama go out and do the right thing.
But there's some religious people who can't do that.
What is religious?
Yeah.
Well, I know. That's what the thing is.
You're talking about religious? I went this morning to Bnei Brak. You know, on the road, is a test case of everything. And this guy with the beard like this, whoop, and after he's like almost getting into my car, he says, can I go in? What do you want me to do? You're already in.
Well, at least he asked.
Yeah.
Even if it's late.
Yeah.
Better late.
So it doesn't matter how you look. And if you look like a big rabbi or you look like not religious at all, doesn't matter. That's exactly the point. You have to be a mensch. It's not the outside, it's the inside. Look, we're talking here. Look, an unbelievable thing. Talking about the inside and outside. Look what is written in our parsha about inside and outside. Okay. We've got 2 minutes before they're going out of Egypt. What do they do? What do they do? Korban Pesach.
Korban Pesach. Yes.
The sacrifice of faith, the Pesach.
I want you to explain us. The last minute is Rega 49, no? No.
Well, you're talking about the level of Tuma?
Yeah, if they would not go out in this minute, they'll miss
the opportunity.
That's why they say that Kodesh Baruch Hu took them out before time. From Egypt, because if he wouldn't take them out at that time, there was nobody to take out. So you see, already here we have only 20% going out. So let's say if it would happen 2 years later or 1 year later, maybe there were not even 20% going out. Maybe only 1% would go out. So this is also reason that God like came at this certain time to take out Am Yisrael of Egypt, because it was like really they were on the level of being a part of the Egyptian culture, and that's it, finished. There's nobody to take it. Yes.
What isn't there a thing about a child can't sit on their father's seat?
Yes. Yes, it's kabed avicha v'timecha. Not to the father, not to the mother, also. Both parents.
The Mashiach also will come in the Rega Haron.
If we don't do anything else, yes.
And Bilam's curse, he listed it.
Let's go.
It's called a Rega.
Hmm?
What? A Rega. Rega is a minute.
A minute.
Yeah, but the rat.
No, it's going to happen suddenly. Okay, let's go to Perek Yud Bet, the beginning of Perek Yud Bet. Let's go to Pasuk Gimel. Yes, got it.
Always. No.
What
Perek Yud Bet, the beginning of Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Gimel. Okay. Dabru el kol adat Israel. Okay.
Gimel.
Yes. Dabru el kol adat Israel le'emor. Ba'asor lachodesh zeh v'ikhu lahem ish seh le'bet avot seh le'bayit. Each one of them is going to take a lamb or a sheep, whatever you call it, to Bet Avot, Selabayit. For, what is Selabayit?
One
Selabayit?
Selabayit,
yes, Selabayit.
One
Sefer,
one
house. Okay. And if the house is going to be, let's say, too small to have the people who live in this house to eat a whole lamb, so what do you do? Okay. And he will take he and the neighbor that lives near his house. Okay?
Isn't that
an
But they take 4 days to
do. Right. It takes time to do.
What?
To live with this. With this
yes, okay.
4 days.
Yes.
To show the
Egyptian.
But no, to show themselves also. If they are idol worshippers and they worship the sheep, and to show them that this sheep will be killed.
What is going here again and again and again? Do you see? The bite, okay? Did you see a bite, a bite, a bite? And it goes on. Now, what bite do we talk about here? You will, when we go to Pasuk... For example, Pasuk Zayin, v'lakhu min adam natnu ashtei amzudot v'al ha-mashkof al ha-batim, again, al ha-batim, on the houses that they eat the sacrifice there. Mm-hmm. And then we go on to Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'aya adam lachem le'ot al ha-batim, again the batim, again the house, the houses. And then go to Pasuk Kaf Zayin. The same Perek, Pasuk 27, Kaf Zayin. Ve'amartem zevach Pesach hu. You will say this is the sacrifice of Pesach. Asher Pasach, what is Pasach al batei bnei Israel? He didn't touch the houses of the children of Israel. And he saved our houses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What does it mean? We talked about in the past. What does it mean, he saved our houses?
The families, I think.
It cannot be save the house like in the building because they live in Egypt. So it just doesn't matter what's going to happen to the building. So what kind of house do we talk here?
House of Israel.
A Beit HaYehudi.
Yeah.
We're talking about a home, the Jewish home, not a house in a physical meaning, but in a spiritual meaning. Now, when we understand this, let's go back. So, the house that we see here all the time, the meaning is not a house as a building, a house as a meaning of a Jewish home.
Family.
Exactly. So, now we understand that we talk about a family taking the lamb, and if the family is a small family, you take who, and see this is unbelievable. Velakahu pasuk dalet, yes? Velakahu ushcheno, and the neighbor who is close to his house.
In other words, he's also
It's not also, because where does a neighbor live?
Next door.
So I don't have to say that the neighbor next door. It means the neighbor next door.
It's included.
The neighbor is not living two streets away.
If the neighbor next door is a idol worshiper, and he's
so what is Karov Lebeto?
Someone that
Jewish.
Who is close to the idea of the Jewish home.
That's,
That's exactly what we're talking about here. Now, when they put the blood, and we talked about it 100 times, I think, where did they put the blood? It's written very clearly.
In the mashkof.
On the mashkof, where is it?
Mashkof in the doorpost.
Yes. V'aya adam lachem le'ot al habatim asher atem. And it says, God tells them, the dam is going to be a sign on the houses, and I will see the blood, and I will go over you and not do anything to you.
Right.
So where was the blood?
On the doorpost.
Where? Outside or inside?
Outside.
Outside in order for God to see it, yes? Right. God doesn't need the blood outside.
Of course.
He knows exactly where the blood is if it's there. It's written very clearly, by Adam lachem leot. You have to see the blood. So in other words, if you put the blood outside, you do not see the blood. Only if the blood is inside, you see the blood. Why to put the blood inside?
Good question.
Because that's exactly the point. You're talking about taking the lamb a few days before to show if we believe in God or believe in the lamb.
Mm-hmm.
So this is exactly the idea. When you put the blood and see it, you understand, I belong to God.
That's right. It's a sign.
So the whole idea is the inside of the house and not the outside. In other words, to build a Jewish home, marriage, whatever you call it, partnership, it's not something from the outside. It's something from the inside. Talking about this week, I also talked about this unbelievable story that happened after the Holocaust. And this was the week, we're talking about Holocaust the whole week. And after the Holocaust, you know, they had these camps. And you know, people lost their families. Wives lost their husband and the kids, and husband lost their wife. And after the war, young people, they wanted to rebuild the houses. So they got married to each other. And, you know, people sometimes met for, let's say, 2 days or 3 days, and they got married because they wanted to rebuild the Jewish home. Now, those marriages, those weddings, were not exactly, let's say, the...
Marriages made in heaven.
Yes, exactly. They were not very happy. No, it was a very...
It was more for practice.
It was like very hard feeling, very, very heavy feeling in those weddings. Because, you know, you had the couple that he lost his wife
children.
With the children, and she lost her husband with the children, and now getting married, you know, with this all this, it's not easy.
Wow.
In one of those weddings, the chevre, they wanted to do the wedding a little happier. So what they did is, in the middle of the wedding, bring this huge box wrapped up beautifully, like a present for the new couple. And then everybody wants to see what's in this really big box. And they opening the box, and in the box, there is another box.
Mm.
Also wrapped as a present. Mm. They open this, and open this.
Another
and at the end, they had this small box with a small present, but everybody was laughing and enjoying themselves. And this rabbi, I don't remember his name, got up and says, "You know what a big lesson you have here? When you build a Jewish home, and when you build your world, sometimes you think, wow, look what great things I did. But you unwrap the things you do, you found out that they're not exactly so good as you thought. Because you do things because of an external reason. People see how righteous I am, people will see how good I am. And then the real thing is that inside there is nothing. Because you do it from your show-off, from your own ego, for yourself, not for the people. And when you come in front of God at the end of days, and you come with this big box, look how many mitzvahs I did. So God says, okay, open, let's see what mitzvahs you did. Then you realize
that
at the end of the day, the only mitzvahs you did are like this, real mitzvahs. And that's something we have to talk in ourselves. Like, why do we do things? Because we want to help others, or because we want to help ourselves? We do it
sometimes
for ourselves.
Sometimes it's a little of both.
So it's this is already on the good way. That's exactly the point. That's already on the way. Because we are not sane. But think about also, okay, you will not have this box. You are, I think you have this box. But if the only reason that you do things, and talking about those who look like rabbis, okay, that's exactly the point. You can look like a rabbi, but if everything you do is for the show and for your own benefits, so you have a big box, but it is empty. And the same way is in marriage. When you get married for the show, and what is important for you is the house, the building, and not the Jewish home, the inside, you've got nothing. That's not the idea. And if we want to go on this way, it's like people live in this world, and this world is with a lot of nice things. Like, I was passing on this high-tech building. Everything, you know, all those glass windows,
shining.
Everything shining. Inside you see a gym and a restaurant and all the good things of the world. And everybody's dressed nicely. And, you know, really, the good life. Now, imagine that this guy who is working there, he thinks he's in the top of the world. It's never going to end. Wow. And then one day, he's got the letter. The project is finished, you're fired. Because that's the way it's worked in the high tech. You know, you have project, you take people, then the project is finished, there is no other work, you go home. And when he goes home, what does he go home with? The two guards come and taking him, he gets this small box with his personal things. That's what he's got.
It's like it's movies.
That's real life.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is exactly what's going to happen when we come up in front of God. We think we enjoy this and enjoy that. And then, what do we do with all this God gave us? And then we come to up there with this small box. They say there was this king. There was this place that I think the Chovot al-Vavot brings this, that they used to, in order to have a king that is going to rule without, being in favor of somebody, what they used to do is every king was like a king for a year or 2 years, and then they throw him out.
We should be objective, not subjective.
Yes, exactly. So they took this king, and he become a king, and he built and took things and taxes, and he was really getting very rich and close, and he enjoyed life, unbelievable. And then, when the year ended, so one day, two guards come in, take him out, throw him outside the town with nothing. You know, this stupid guy also brought everything he had outside into the town, into the place where he was king. So also what he had outside, he also brought inside, he also this lost. Then, they took another guy, but this guy was clever. He didn't understand, why did they take me as a king? What's happening here? Coming from the outside, take me as a king. So, he took one of the people, he was giving presents, and become very friendly with him, and then asked him, what's going on with him? So he told him, you know, we want an objective king, so every year, we changed the king. So what did this king do? He, everything he had, took outside. Outside the town. He bought property in Switzerland, in all over the world. But nothing there. So the end of the year, they throw him out.
And he's got everything.
He's got everything out. He's got everything. That's exactly this world. We come to this world for a certain period of time. So what do? Instead of doing mitzvahs, but we have something, and there we enjoy life and take more for us, me. And we don't think for a minute that this is going to end one day. And then we're going to be taken out of this world, and we've got outside nothing. So what should we do in this world? We should do as many mitzvahs as we can in order to take out from this world and build our next world. That's the idea. And this is the fight we have with Pharaoh. Taking out of his tribe. And do remember the basic thing. Kol tzivot mitzvot. Everybody went out of Egypt. What God wants us is, first of all, the will to do the right thing, to do the first step. And if we do the first step, boil paro, I'm with you. I'm going to take you with me. There's other shit.
Yes.
Yes.
I heard the